Blog Talk Radio.
We all got a spirit inside that's angelic. We can't keep living a lie, let it develop. Whose people shine nearly as bright, I can't tell it. My band about 70 songs, it's like fellas. A heat wave like Martha in the Vandellas. The way it's going down in the world is scandalous. Folks visit the street and in New York top sellers. As we advance from rock sellers to rock sellers and drop some of the most popular acapellas. You got the lovers, the cold-blooded soul brothers, asleep with our head on the pillow under the covers. How long will it take us to learn from one another? That respect is nothing to earn from one another. We can change how the world turn for one another. Let's show a little common concern for one another. Wake up.
Because everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. Cause everyone's too caught up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Suffer and who gets all the hell? And they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Hey, well, wake up all the building down to build a new land. So I know we can do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we gotta do is put it.
soprano section.
Good evening. I'm your host, Velton Nix, founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, and welcome to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Radio. Tonight's topic is education in our inner cities. As we all know, there is a lack of good education in our inner cities. And what we need to know is why. Tonight, our guest speaker, he's an author of a book entitled Don't Want to Be the Only Black There. He's an educator and mentor, a scholar. Let me introduce to you Dr. Edgar J. Scott. How are we doing this evening, Doctor?
Doing good, Tony. I'd just like to say thank you. I'm sitting here in the office with my wife and contributing author, Kay Scott. And Kay, you want to say something?
I just want to say hello. Very happy to be here. Thank you.
Welcome to both of you this evening. Doc, you know why I called on you tonight? I heard you loud and clear. I know this is an issue that you do not play with. You are very fiery with it. You are very knowledgeable with it. And this is your forte. I respect your views. And those of you that are listening tonight, sit back, relax, open your ears, open your minds. We've got some information here that's some that you might know and a lot that you don't know. Our kids are failing at a high degree, and we need to put a stop to it. I believe Dr. Scott has a whole lot of answers and a whole lot of information and ways to put a stop to it. Doc, the floor is yours. Let it flow.
Thank you much, Tony. We'll start off, Tony, since we're talking about New York. I thought that I would go ahead, and we only have half an hour, and as you know, that's not even enough to even get warmed up, but I'll go ahead and stay within that time limit. I was told here by my partner that I just had that time limit, and I have to stay within it. So let me give you some data first. I'm going to give you data from the SHOT Foundation for Public Education, and the data is from the 2007-2008. This is for just black boys in the public education system in New York. Out of the total black male enrollment for the United States of America, and New York has 274,659 boys. Only 25% of them graduate. That means 75% of your black boys do not graduate in New York. Now, you can look this data up under the SHOT report, the SHOT state report, under the SHOP Foundation for Public Education. That's the most recent data.
So in order to help people get a little deeper understanding about, you know, the magnitude of this, these numbers, the 75% do not graduate. That's the statistic. But what does not graduating mean? Does that mean they're dropouts, or does it mean that it just means that these are students who do not finish high school? So they're a portion of the students who don't finish high school are dropouts. They're actually students who leave school for any reason and do not graduate from high school. They never get a diploma. And then there are students that are at risk of failure, at risk of not their school age, that demonstrate little or no interest in achieving in school. They are at risk of not succeeding in the school environment due to a variety of factors, such as academic or personal or environmental factors. They've failed one or more grades. They appear unlikely to complete high school, and they're unlikely to leave school with an adequate level of basic skills. Now, that's very problematic. I mean, there's millions of youth out there that are in this at-risk category. They're not just dropouts. They may be trying to stay in the system, but even if they do leave school, they're not going to have an adequate level of basic skills. And in today's society, we are risking millions and millions of dollars annually in lost economic capital, lost human capital, because we're not producing students at the secondary level or the post-secondary level that have the adequate skills to enter the workforce and be successful.
And Tony,
well, can I ask a question, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
What is the one major cause that you believe this is, you know, why this is happening?
You know, excellent question, and I would have to say that there are some causes that are more major than others. It's a complex issue, but obviously if the statistics show that it's our black children, especially black boys, that are having the highest rates of school failure, then it's looking like that's where we need to investigate. Why is it that but it's not just black boys, it's minorities in general that are suffering the most school failure. So when we did research, pardon me?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead. You got my attention.
Okay.
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, in the first chapter of the book, the overarching effect, you know, that's coming into play here, and, you know, Dr. Scott doesn't mince words, and I'm going to say, who do you think he got that from? And what we identified, literally, and please, I really encourage people to get the book so that you can get a deeper sense of these issues, but it really stems from many, many decades and years of institutionalized racism. Now, we can break it down a little bit. Our next book is called Crawling from the Wreckage, and we're going to switch roles on that book where I will be the main author and my husband will be the contributing author. So, you know, this answers the question more succinctly. This is exactly what we researched. So what are the issues?
Let me give you some of the issues. Number one, lack of awareness of the issues and effective strategies and solutions for dealing with the issues. Hold it, Doc.
Say that one more time, please. Say it one more time. Say it slow. But say it again, please.
Lack of awareness of the issues and of effective strategies and solutions.
What that means, Tony, is that a lot of people don't even know it's an issue. And if it's an issue, it's the question you said, what's the issue? Much less what would be an effective strategy or a solution to address the issue. So that's number one, is the lack of awareness.
And Tony, when she talks about lack of awareness, here it is. We can spend weeks and weeks and weeks, and this is not throwing any stones at anybody.
Hold on a second, Doc. I've gotten a signal here that we've only got 60 seconds left. I don't know what's going on. We've only been on the air for 15 minutes here so far, and apparently there's some kind of technical difficulty. But go on, please finish. We only got 60 seconds. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm looking at it. I just heard it over the line. We may have to do this show again.
Okay.
No problem.
Because I got to get this show on the air, and I don't know what's going on, but I've just got a signal saying 60 seconds left, and that's incorrect. I'm supposed to have 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, I guess what we're saying is the major issue is a lack of cultural competency. It's happening with our minority students, and there's a lack of awareness, and I think a lot of that is conscious covering up. I don't think anybody wants to talk about racism in the schools. I don't think they want to talk about the lack of success. They want to blame the victim. They want to say, those kids can't learn.
That's true.
Yes.
That is true.
And that, that's not what's happening. And I wish that we had a little more time to talk about this, because everything that flows, whether it's the school curriculum, whether it's the administration, whether it's the activities, all of those things flow from the fact that people don't want to address the real issue.
And the real issue is, the real issue is institutionalized racism. That's why you have to buy the book, Don't Want to Be the Only Black There, so you can see what these 16 students tell you, the reason, tell you how to be successful on the predominantly white campus.
And we are teaching our students in a European, white European format, which is not how they learn. It's not how they best learn. And so we're not adapting our curriculum. We don't include their history. We don't honor their journey. There's no relevancy to them, and so that's why they leave.
Well, listen, we're going to stay on the air till they cut us off, because we are beyond what they just told me. So we're going to let it flow, because you two have some very good information, and this is the stuff I don't hear. I'm hearing a lot of other stuff, and for me, this is the real deal. This is, for me,
yes,
the real deal, and this is what the people need to be informed about. They're not being informed about this. The curriculums need to change.
Exactly, exactly. I want Dr. Scott to talk about what's not happening at the level of school administration, and their lack of skills and training around cultural competency and how to give positive discipline. I'm going to let him talk about that.
Well, for one reason, you have to think about, at that level, people that have had this system in place do not have cultural competency skills. And so they don't understand. It's not a priority for them. If you were in power, let's keep everything the same. There's no reason to change. And so they don't have cultural competency skills. They don't know how to deal with conflict resolution and mediation. And the thing, when you get, so when our kids have issues and get sent to the office, they're kicked out of school. That's hard.
True.
Now, I want to let you know, I don't know if you know this, Tony, but I'm a school counselor for 12th grade students in Compton at a school that's one of the lowest 5% in the nation.
Whoa.
Exactly. And we're about 50% black and about 50% Hispanic. And so much of my information that I did research on is completely corroborated by my everyday experience.
You know, I suspected that the way that you're talking about this, I knew you had to be in the field of this, you know, and you're in Compton. And we know what
yeah.
the statistics are in Compton.
Yes,
yeah.
I
And another thing, Tony, that we want to say is that a lot of people think that just because somebody looks like these kids that we're talking about know something about cultural competency skills, we're here to tell you that those people that look like those students that are being kicked out and pushed out of the system and put in jail, they don't have cultural competency skills either. Now, what do you think about that?
We're going to do this show again. There's going to be a part two to this show. Let me just make that announcement right now. There's going to be a part two to this show. That's what I think about that, because 30 minutes is not enough time for the information that you have given out. I'm sorry. We need more time.
It's too big. It's way too big.
And Tony, when you're talking about, you live in the area that we're talking about, when you're talking about 75% of your students aren't graduating, that's greater than chance. There's a reason
yes, it
for
is.
It.
And yes,
yet,
it is.
And yet, there's not an uproar. People are not up in arms. There are no marches. There aren't any churches out there people up and saying, we're going to do something about it. It's okay. And yet, Donald Trump can use some four-letter words in Las Vegas, and the media is all over it.
Well, and I want to tell you, back when I did the research, the original research on this topic so close to my heart, the statistics haven't changed. If anything, they've gotten worse. I mean, and this is why I want to come out with a new book, is because 16 years ago, you still had a 75% dropout rate in inner cities for black youth. And, you know, it's not improved at all. And back then, statistics were that, you know, 40% of minority youth were labeled as functionally illiterate. And a minority child is, you know, 2.5 times more likely than a white child to be labeled educably mentally retarded. Why is that happening?
And the book, Don't Want to Be the Only Black There, is taken from my dissertation that was done in 1994. We update the statistics, and nothing has changed. It's gotten worse.
Much worse. Much worse.
And
it's horrendous. The word is horrendous.
Yes. The statistics also show, I mean, this is the societal wreckage that it causes. You know, if a black high school dropout tries to, you know, they're going to be much more likely to be unemployed than a white high school dropout.
Oh, of course.
So,
that's what's happening now.
Yes, yes.
And just what the audience needs to understand is that if you are creating a system and you want a particular group to fail, which we call a possibly educational genocide, you would create it and do just what you're doing now.
Educational genocide. Ooh.
Absolutely, because education has literally written people out of history.
We've written them out of history.
What people are we talking about again now? I want this
we're
say,
talking
say
about
loud
black
so they can hear.
People.
Education has written black people
off and
out of history. Did you get that?
I hear you. Loud and clear, sir. I heard you loud and clear. I hope everyone else did. Now, you know there's going to be some feedback that what y'all are saying is not true. I'm
quite
sure you
I want to respond to that in another teleconference that we had, Tony. We had a young gentleman saying that, you know, what we really need to do is get these kids out there to vote. You know, we need to get them to vote. That's what we need to do. And I said, have you ever worked in a public education setting? No. I said, we got to teach them how to read first. They can't vote. They don't even know how to read. They can't read. They can't write. And this person
That's
had
true.
No concept of that.
And if they keep going
so
to prison, if they keep going to prison, they're not going to be able to vote anyway.
Exactly. And so my response is if you haven't been there, you don't know what you're talking about. So be careful.
And Tony, as far as getting the negative responses, our response to that is, if you were creating a system and you were on top and you wanted to keep a group on the bottom or groups on the bottom, you would create it just like this. You'd create an educational system where people would fail. So our response to that is, if somebody has something to say, they have our website and know how to get a hold of us. Bring it on.
Do me a favor. Would you say your website, please, over the air, if you don't mind?
Yeah, that's fine. www.bridgebuilderpublishing, all one word, bridgebuilderpublishing.net/blog. www.bridgebuilderpublishing.net. www.thefreedomofspeech.net/blog.
Well,
and Tony, we've always
title. Hold on, Doc. Let me change the title of this show. Okay? Education in the Inner Cities, Part 1. Because there's definitely going to be a part 2 to this. I have to. I have
and maybe
to.
A part 3.
We'll see.
And Tony, we
we'll
got
see.
It like,
if need be, if need be, we'll do a part 3. I'm sorry, Doc.
No,
I want
to. Just in case we have to summarize and wrap up, I want to go back to your question about what's the real issue. And in our research, the number one predisposing or contributing factor connected with a student being placed at risk for school failure was being a member of a racial, ethnic, or language minority group. Number one.
Wow. Number one.
We call it institutional racism.
And educational genocide.
And educational genocide. Now, you will have those that will call us liars and the truth isn't in us, but we're not going to do any more research. We're not going to look up any more data.
Because the truth is staring us in the face.
We'll let those people that are learned do that. We have our stuff. We've been doing it. We're in the trenches. Whatever they're doing isn't working, especially for black kids, and particularly the males. And I just took the New York data, so people can believe whatever they want to believe, because denial is a wonderful thing as long as it lasts.
And I also want to bring in another factor here. It's far too easy to think that it's white people that are creating this wreckage. And, in fact, there's another factor at work here called internalized oppression. And you will find members of minority groups who have risen to the level of school administrators and are actually doing the same thing to the minority students that were done to minority students by white administrators, and maybe even more harshly.
Listen, we have about 2 minutes left. I'm asking now, please, please do part two for me. Please. I have to have you back. I have to have you back. I have to.
Well, we would love to because we have just skimmed the surface.
Yeah, this is just the surface. Because these are the
and
issues.
Callers, callers, if you're listening, I want calls. I want questions. I want agreement. I want disagreement. Because right, this issue right here is serious. This issue right here is serious. I'm sitting here saying to myself, my God, I had no real idea. But you two have really enlightened me. We have about 60 seconds left on the air, so I'm going to end it with thank you for being on the show. I look forward to part two, which will be happening very soon, and we will continue further discussion on education in our inner city. Dr. Scott,
we are with you,
Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much. God bless you both, and have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Again, this is Velton, founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. As always, imparting no violence, no peace. By the way, if you hear some background noise, it's because I'm outside this evening on a lovely Saturday, and I'm by the park, and they're playing ball, and it's peaceful. Y'all have a blessed night. Thank you.